came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said unto them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them.
When Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, they were told that there was no room for them in the inn. Since the incarnate Son was barred from the inn, he was born in a nearby stable used for cattle. His bed was a feeding trough. This barrier at Bethlehem was consistent with Christ's earthly ministry, as he was often rejected by many.
Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as we hid as if it were our faces from him, he was despised and we did not esteem it.
John 1:11, he came to his own and his own did not receive him.
When the innkeeper rejected Joseph and Mary, There is no indication that he was purposely rejecting Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The innkeeper was simply running a business and had filled his rooms. He was so preoccupied with doing business that he missed the prophetic event of Christ's birth in Bethlehem. Are you so busy with the cares of this world that you have left Christ on the outside of your life? It is easy to do that at this time of year. Let's listen to our younger class as they remind us of our wonderful Savior who was born in Bethlehem.
Thank you.
Have you rejected Jesus Christ? Perhaps you have rejected him because of the barrier of pride, as you think you can earn your way to heaven by your good works. Or perhaps you rejected Jesus Christ because of the barrier of religion and self-righteousness, as you are depending on a church or sacrament to save you, instead of the finished work of Jesus Christ's death on the cross. Perhaps it's the barrier of ignorance or false teaching keeping you from accepting Christ, as no one has ever clearly explained to you how salvation is a gift for sinners, not a reward for good people. Maybe you are like many who have rejected Jesus Christ because you are so consumed with all this world has to offer instead of being concerned about your eternal destiny. Regardless of the reason, we invite you to look beyond Bethlehem today and see what the Lord Jesus Christ has to offer you. This next song by our two choirs reminds us that though Jesus Christ is of humble birth, he is the heaven-born Prince of Peace and King of Kings.
I'm glad.
As we read earlier this morning, Luke in the first century recorded Christ's birth at Bethlehem. Every Christmas, we see lighted manger scenes in front of homes, live manger scenes on stages, and ceramic manger scenes on end tables, all depicting this wonderful event. Each time we see a manger scene, we should be reminded of God's grace. God demonstrated his grace through this birth at Bethlehem. God in his grace sent his son for you and me. God the Son came to Bethlehem and became a man so that you can trust in him alone, so that those who trust in him alone will have eternal life. Is this true of you?
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. John 1:14-16.
Thank you.
For 2,000 years, the wisest of scholars, as well as humble believers, have acknowledged that the infant, born of a virgin in Bethlehem, is their Lord and Savior. In him resides all the attributes of the infinite God of this universe. Is this how you view Jesus Christ?
For unto a child is born, for unto a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6.
Jesus Christ, the eternal God, became a man without sin so that you and I can have eternal life. What is more amazing than God becoming a man is that he left the glories of heaven for sinners like you and like me. Today, God is saying, I give you my Son, the Word which became flesh. Please accept this wonderful gift. Have you received by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Our two choirs will now sing about the birthday of a king.
When King Herod heard about Jesus' birth, he was jealous of the newborn king and wanted to kill him. In a rage, the king ordered all babies 2 years and younger to be killed. King Herod was angry and set out to do battle with innocent children because he was afraid of losing his crown. When God warned Mary and Joseph of the king's plan, They fled to Egypt and hid Joseph, Jesus, where he would be safe. Are you in a spiritual battle today? Have you rejected Jesus Christ as you fight with God and what the Holy Spirit of God has shown you in the Word of God? We know God won the battle at Bethlehem. Don't allow Satan to claim victory in the battle over your soul by rejecting Jesus Christ and his payment on the cross for you. God wants you to trust in the atoning death of his Son so you can know that you have eternal life right now.
John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Most assuredly, I say unto you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come to judgment, but has passed from death into life. John 5:24.
Perhaps you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God has saved you by his grace at the point in time when you trusted in Christ alone. Then you are in a spiritual battle every day. The issue is no longer your eternal destiny, as you have received eternal life the moment you trusted in Christ alone. The spiritual battle you face deals with who will control and be honored in your life now that you have been saved. If Satan cannot prevent a sinner from trusting in Christ for salvation, he then wants to neutralize and defeat the believer in his or her walk with the Lord so that believer does not tell others about Jesus Christ.
Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and the blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, and spiritual hosts of wickedness who live in the heavenly places.
Let's not allow Satan to win the battle this Christmas, as he tries to distract us with all the world has to offer. Instead, let's worship the Savior, as Christmas is the time to praise the Lord for all he's done.
Today, we invite you to look beyond Bethlehem and see the benefits of Bethlehem. These benefits can be yours if you accept what Christ did on the cross when he died for your sins and rose again. You can have absolute assurance that you will go to heaven and escape the eternal punishment of hell by trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of bowing down to a baby in Bethlehem, but coming to Christ the Savior at Calvary. What are you trusting in to get into heaven? Your works, your riches, your religion, your church? None of these can save you. Only Jesus Christ can give you eternal life, the greatest benefit to come out of Bethlehem.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
For by grace you have been saved, and it's through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9.
The benefits and blessings of Bethlehem are numerous once you have accepted God's free gift of salvation. Not only do you escape the eternal wrath of a holy God, but you are sealed until the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit. You are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Though his humble birth in a manger and his sacrificial death on the cross was long ago, Christ's saving grace is still available today, far beyond Bethlehem.
Father, come in Bethlehem, lift so holy light.
Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ.
Ephesians 1:13, in him you also have trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Many people, especially children, view the piles of gifts they receive at Christmas as the benefit of Bethlehem. Let me again remind you that the greatest benefit of Bethlehem is the eternal life that God freely gives to them who put their trust in his Son. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to take him off the cross, and yet he willingly went to the cross to die for you and me. Do you realize that on the cross, Jesus Christ died to give you eternal life? Looking beyond Bethlehem, we see a cross, we see an empty tomb, we see a risen Savior, and we see a coming King. There is no room for him in Bethlehem, but there was room for him at Calvary, where he suffered and died to pay for the sins of the entire world. He victoriously arose from the grave and now sits at the right hand of the Father. Are you focused on Bethlehem as you celebrate Christmas each year, seeing only a baby in a manger? Or can you see beyond Bethlehem, to Calvary, where Christ died a sacrificial death for you and me?
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death crowned his glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Hebrews 2:9.
Still.
Are you looking beyond Bethlehem to Calvary, where our Savior gave his life so you could be forgiven and set free from the bondage of sin? Are you looking beyond Bethlehem to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is proof that God the Father fully accepted Christ's payment for your sins and that he raised Christ from the dead? Do you see Christmas as being a nativity scene with a baby in a manger? I encourage you to look beyond Bethlehem and trust in Christ alone, who died on the cross to pay for all of your sins. By faith alone in Christ alone, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life.
Thank you. wave to your dad? He's watching on camera. Wave.
Side here so I can see what I'm doing up here. So the wealth of a thousand kingdoms, friends, is offered to you. It came in a small package, the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for you. In light of the bad news that I gave you beforehand, before we began, this is truly good news for you and for me. Now remember, since we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, God in his grace initiated a plan to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. No one can save themselves. No church can save anyone. You know, I can't save anybody. I'm the pastor here. I had to be saved myself years ago when I was convicted of my sin. I sensed I needed something because, you know, I broke a lot of those commandments in my college years, and I just knew, boy, if I stood before God, I'd go to hell for sure. I didn't want to go. What a great reason to be saved, to just not want to go to hell, but God is offering you this free gift simply and completely. And since I sensed I was a helpless, hopeless, hellbound sinner, I needed a Savior to save me. And that's exactly what you and I need. And this is why Jesus came to earth so long ago in that manger. We saw that manger scene. We put it over here. But notice here, beyond the manger scene, there is this cross of Christ, because this is why he came. And although we celebrate the coming of Christ at Christmas time, and we celebrate the fact that he was born in a manger, and we sing all those songs about that, we wanted you to look beyond Bethlehem this morning and to sense for yourself, where do I stand in light of all of this? Now, he couldn't save us as a baby, but God himself said, if I don't go down there for Dave Knutson, if I don't go down there for the people that are at this program, they don't have a chance. They're hopeless, they're hellbound, and they can't save themselves. They need a Savior. So God said, I will go down there in the person of Jesus Christ. I will become one of them. Since God can never die, since he's an eternal being, God would become a man. So as a human being, he could die and pay that penalty. But friends, he was a unique person. He was the unique God-man. He could do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And although one person may die for another friend, as I think of the Tale of Two Cities, where that guy gallantly gave his life and went to the guillotine so his friend could escape the French Revolution and all that was going on in Paris in those days. Sometimes people will do that. A soldier may fall on a grenade to save his buddies. That won't get those buddies to heaven. It might extend their physical life, but that's why they needed a Savior. So again, this is very, very important, and that's why, again, we needed a Savior to save us. The substitute, however, could not just be any man. Since he had to be the unique God-man, God became a human being, a small baby. Now think of this for a minute, friends. If Jesus is that God, and I believe he is, and he created everything out of nothing, and now he sustains everything. Here he was as he retained his deity. But while he laid in that manger, again, he took on human flesh, and he had to have his diapers changed because he had humanity. He was still sustaining this world. And that's why, although everything seems to be going to hell in a wholesale basket here, everything seems to be upside down in time. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, I mean, he couldn't save us as a babe, and that's why he went to the cross. He was born to die. He was born to die for you, and he was born to die for me on that cross. And this is very, very important to understand. Born without sin, he lived a perfect life. And at God's time, he offered his life on the cross on behalf of sinful man. You see, God took our sin and laid it on him on that cross. You ever think about that? I mean, Adam's sin was imputed to you, and that's why you're guilty. That's why you needed a Savior. So here's a great picture. Again, Christ went to the cross since the justice of God demanded the death penalty. Two scenarios. Either you die and pay for your own sins, which means you go to hell forever and never get out, or an adequate substitute could go to the cross and God then put your sins on him. He paid for them past, present, and future. I like to tell people, you know, he put my sins on his Visa card and then he picked up the tab. I can't even tip the waiter because he did such a wonderful job. And it's simply offered to you as a free gift. This is very, very important. So again, you know, we had a lot of verses quoted by the kids in our program today. This one verse, John 3:16, really says it all. It says, for God so loved not just the world, but you, and you, and you back there, and you over here. And since you may be sensing you're not right with God, maybe this is addressed to you today. So listen to this. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. Why? To die and to pay the penalty so that the justice of God could be satisfied with the payment Christ made so that you could go free. But it's only those who sense that and see that for themselves who are then willing to put their faith in him, to believe in him. That's what the verse goes on to say. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son to die, that whoever, if you believe in him, who's that? God the Son, not God the Father, but God the Son, you have to do business with Jesus. As God sent his Son, and he's honoring his Son, if you honor his Son. Okay, focus on that for a minute. Two things are promised. Then if you believe in him, number one, you should not perish. You don't have to go to hell. But you can have a life which is eternal that begins the moment you believe in Jesus Christ. This is such an amazing offer. This is what grace is all about. You can never earn it, but God is giving it to you freely if you would be willing to just trust him as your personal Savior for your sin. Now, sometimes I tell this to people, and sometimes they say to me this. From what you're saying, if what you're saying is true, and if Christ died for all sins, for all people, for all time, does that mean all people can automatically go to heaven one day? And I say yes and no to that. What do you mean yes and no to that? No, not everyone's going to go to heaven. Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many are on that road. While narrow is the way that leads to life, but few there be that find it. Now, why is it that just a few people find it? Because you have to be humble enough to take it. You have to see that you're guilty before God to get it. And if you sense that, and if you sense that Christ did it all, and you put your faith in him, then it's absolutely true. You'll have what? Eternal life. How long does eternal life last? It lasts forever. So it doesn't last until we screw up again, because we are a bunch of screw-ups right from the get-go. I'm admitting it. I'm the pastor here. I'm running the show here. But again, we are all sinners in need of a Savior. So when God sent his Son to the cross, and then he was buried, and then he rose again the third day, the resurrection is indicating to us that God the Father was satisfied with the payment Christ made for the sins of the whole world. And since he did this 2,000 years ago, you can still get in on it today. I mean, Christmas is a time for gifts. Am I right? All you have to do is what? Believe in him. Who is the him? God the Son, who he sent to pay for our sins on Calvary's cross. And that's why you need to see that he did this for you and that he provided it for you and that you have to personally now put your faith in him to be saved, and that's what God wants for you. And although Bethlehem is a wonderful story, we're looking beyond Bethlehem today. We want you to see that eternal life is a free gift. I mean, it's Christmas season. Who doesn't like to get a gift, right? And heaven is free for the person who is willing to take it. And now when somebody gives you a gift, do you pay or do they pay? They pay. And that's why God paid this by sending his Son and he would shed his blood on the cross for you so that you could be saved and have eternal life if you're willing and humble enough to just trust him, to take it by faith. And I trust that that's the message you needed to hear today. That's the message we wanted to communicate by the grace of God. And I trust that you're understanding that and seeing that. And I'm kind of lost in my notes here, but that's the way it is. But to see that, you need to look beyond Bethlehem. You need to look to the lonely cross, an empty tomb, a risen Savior, and for eternal life, which is offered to you as a free gift. You can't work to go to heaven. No church can save, including this church. We don't save anybody. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you could be saved. And perhaps you're like this guy. I like to show this slide, you know. Here's a guy who's thinking. He's got a Bible in his hand. He's heard some Bible verses, and maybe you're here today for the first time and hearing a different perspective on, quote, Christianity. Sometimes people think you can't smoke, drink, or chew or date girls that do to go to heaven. That is not true at all. Okay? And when I got saved, I said, well, what do I have to give up to go to heaven? They said, well, you have to give up going to hell. I thought, that's pretty easy. I can do that. This is simple. I don't have to do a lot of good works. I can just trust Christ, and God's made me a pastor. This is amazing. But again, here, Jesus is no longer on that cross because he's paid for sin once and for all, number one. And here in the background of this guy, there's Jesus wanting to persuade this man, to convict this man, to show this man that the cross of Calvary is the way to be saved and to have eternal life. This is an amazing slide that I sometimes show our people here at church, here at Grace Gospel Bible Church. So maybe you're here and you're thinking, you know, I am convicted of my sin and I don't even know for sure if I'm going to heaven. And if you don't know, you can't go. That's what it is. And that's why God says, I wrote these things that since you would believe that you could know that you have eternal life. Just like you can know you're married if you're married. You can know that you're here if you're here. I know you want me to quit talking. I understand. I'll be with you here in just a minute. But this is absolutely amazing. So the whole choice comes down to you making a choice for yourself. You can either accept Christ as your personal Savior and be saved. Great time. Christmas time is a great time to be saved. Or you can reject Jesus Christ and go out of here thinking about, I can't wait till he's done because I'm out of here. 30 seconds and I'm out of here. That could be true. So again, the Philippian jailer asked the Apostle Paul, what must I do to be saved? Because he heard Paul and Silas singing in prison. And they said, the apostle said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's the bottom line. And that's why, what does it mean to believe? It means to trust in or to rely on. Just like you're trusting in that chair to hold you up, but the chair can't get you to heaven. You exercise faith. We exercise faith every day. When you leave here and drive home, you're expecting those people to stay on the other side of that yellow line, and they're expecting you to stay on your side. Okay? So we always are exercising faith here. But again, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Well, what about this last three words, and thy house? No, just because you trusted Christ doesn't mean your children are going to heaven. Each person in that household needed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and they would be saved. And their household could be saved. And that's what we're saying here is that Christ died for the sins of all people, but all people are not saved. Matter of fact, most are not. Most could give a rip. But everybody is savable because of what Christ has done. He has paid for your sins. He's paid for mine. And I saw this. I thought, this is too good a deal to pass up. I'm taking this one. And I believed in Jesus Christ. And I'm hoping to have you believe in Jesus Christ as well. You know, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wise men, Gentile followers, followed that star. And they came to Jerusalem first and they said, where is he who was born King of the Jews? We have seen a star in the east and we've come to worship him. Gentiles had come to Judaism to believe in this Jewish Savior who had been born in Bethlehem. And they came, and I believe they were believing because they came to worship, and you only worship God, friends. when they came to worship this baby. And they didn't know everything about the future yet, but they saw this star and they were moved in their hearts and God was working in their life and they came to Jerusalem to be saved. I just want to close with this one last thought. These were called wise men, but wise men still seek him. Now, if you're a wise man or if you're a wise woman, you will think about this today. Am I wise enough to trust Christ as my personal Savior and be saved? I trust you are by the grace of God, and I hope you are, because that is my prayer for you all here. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll be done. We'll sing one more song, and we'll let you have some snacks here. Father, we thank you for your grace, and again for the program today, for the kids, the hard work went into this, for the many people that were involved, Father, is that you can't put a program on like this without a lot of help. And again, Grace Gospel Bible Church is not a one-man church. It's a body of believers who function together and yield themselves to God and, again, are willing to sacrifice their time and efforts to get a message out. And many relatives are here today, Father. We're praying for them that they are open to this message and could see how simple getting saved is. Just a matter of trusting Christ and him alone to be saved. We thank you for that. We commit it all to you now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, a special thanks to the believers of Grace Gospel Bible Church for working so hard to put this on.